We're continuing our studies in the book of Romans, and we're beginning to look at Romans 1:18, and we'll be including several verses in this latter part of this chapter. And I'm going to just read one verse for sake of time. I'm going to read verse 18 and then begin our thoughts. Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." There's a conjunction in verse 18, and it's the word "for," and it ties us back into verse 17. And one interesting thing here is this. In our studies of verse 17, we looked at the word "therein" is the righteousness of God revealed. "Therein" is a reference to the gospel of Christ, or Paul's gospel. And it's interesting that Paul's gospel reveals two things. It reveals the blessing, and it reveals the cursing. You remember back in the Old Testament that Moses told him, he says, "You've got the blessing and the cursing. Now I want you to choose the blessing." And it's the gospel of Christ that reveals two things. It reveals the blessing of being just and living by faith. You will be rewarded with honor and glory in the coming kingdom of our Lord. It also reveals the wrath of God. The gospel of Christ reveals the wrath of God against those who resist the truth of living by faith, because that's what is being referred to in verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven," just like the righteousness of God is revealed in heaven in verse 17. Now, the wrath of God is revealed against those who hold, and actually this word is a compound word, hold. It's hold down, suppress the truth. So, we need to appreciate the fact that there's two aspects to the gospel of Christ. There is the blessing and there is the cursing. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 4 through 5, 5 through 6, excuse me, we see a reference to the wrath of God in reference to the judgment seat of Christ. "For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." The word "children" here is the word "sons." It has to do with maturing in disobedience. When I think of a son of disobedience, I think of him as a professional disobeyer. He has become proficient in disobedience, so that when you hear what he has to say and you see what he is doing, it all looks like the right thing. And yet it is not. And so the wrath of God is going to be revealed against those that are unjust. And we can be assured that they will not rule and reign with Christ. They will not have an inheritance in the coming kingdom. So the gospel of Christ reveals the wrath of God, and the wrath of God has to do with being denied entrance into and the blessings of the coming kingdom. Now, the wrath of God is revealed in Romans chapter 5. I want to show you the contrast here of the wrath of God with the blessings of God. The wrath of God is revealed. It's interesting that it has to be revealed. When you look at back in the Old Testament, you've seen the wrath of God over and over again from an earthly perspective. And God's wrath has been revealed in Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, that wasn't any revelation. All Abraham did is he looked down there and he saw smoke coming up. But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, this truth has to be revealed. Because people today believe that if you're saved, you will never have to fear the wrath of God. And that is a lie. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's the common salvation. He died that I might be saved. He died that I might be a part of the family. Verse 9 says, "Much more than, beyond salvation." Much more than salvation, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Well, what does it mean to be saved from wrath through Him? Well, who is Christ? He is my high priest. And I can be saved from the judgment of God through the Lord Jesus Christ by confession of sin. If we judge ourselves, we shall not be what? Judged. If we refuse to judge ourselves, we are practicing the willful sin. And there is no sacrifice made for the willful sin. You will be judged for sin that you believe you have the right to practice or to do. So, their salvation, and then there is being delivered from the wrath through the Lord Jesus Christ, our High Priest. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead." I think it's interesting that that is put in here, "who is raised from the dead," and He was raised from the dead for the purpose of what? To be our high priest. That's the reason why He was raised from the dead. One of the reasons, I say, not the only. "Even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." It's unfortunate the way that's translated. It's translated in the past tense when it's actually in the present tense. He is delivering us today as our high priest from the wrath that's coming. For whom? For His children that disobey Him. That's what this is saying. He is delivering us from the wrath that's coming. The word "coming" is also in the present tense, and it is for sure that it's coming. In Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, you know, and I'm thinking about this as I'm studying this, I'm constantly looking ahead in the book of Romans. That doesn't mean that we're not going to study these verses when we get there. But what will happen is that you will have a preview of these verses, and we'll look at them more in detail. But it doesn't hurt anything to repeat either. Here in Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, it says, "But after they hardened, after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." What he's talking about here, he's referring to those that are actually in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and following. The ones who are holding down the truth are the ones who have a hard heart, and they are the ones that are impenitent. In other words, they are not going to repent. Impenitent heart, they're going to treasure up for themselves wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. When is the righteous judgment of God going to take place? For those who are called into His kingdom and glory, it's going to take place at the judgment seat of Christ. And it will be, and the judgment will be according to Paul's gospel. The truths that are revealed by Paul. And you find this in chapter 2 of Romans, and I believe it's in verse 16. That in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, continuing in verse 6 of Romans 2, who will render or reward or pay every man according to his deeds. And this is a saved man. This is not talking about lost people. This is talking about saved people and their reward based upon their service, their deeds. If they're good ones, you'll like what you'll get. If you're not living for the Lord, you're not going to like what you're going to get. Okay? So, he will render to every man, saved man, according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing, they are seeking for glory and honor and incorruption. It says immortality. Incorruption is a better translation of that Greek word. Because we don't want to reap corruption. We want to reap incorruption. How do we reap corruption? All you got to do is just sow to the flesh. That's all you got to do. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You sow to the things of the Spirit, you're going to reap incorruption. Same Greek word. Okay? And this is done through well-doing. And those who are seeking honoring glory in His coming kingdom and corruption, they're going to have that life for the age. But unto them who are contentious and do not obey the truth. They're not obeying the truth. In fact, they're suppressing the truth. But obey unrighteousness or unjustness. What's going to be their portion? Indignation and wrath. That's the revelation of the wrath of God having to do with stubborn, rebellious children of His. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 and 12, or 10 through 12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness or unjustness in them that perish. The word perish is in the present tense, so they are in the process of perishing or losing their life. What life? Their life in the coming kingdom. Because they receive not the love of the truth. We just got through reading. I want to just remind you, we just got through reading in verse 18 of Romans 1 that the wrath of God is going to be revealed to those that hold down the truth. And here is a reference to the truth, a definite article the before it. It's a particular truth. And when it's talking about loving, they receive not the love of the truth. This doesn't have anything to do with that fuzzy feeling stuff. You know what I mean? It's not that kind of love that you embrace. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What this love has to do with is obeying the truth. These people would not obey the truth that they might be saved, that they might be delivered. Delivered from what? The wrath to come. What is the wrath to come? Well, it's outer darkness. It's being beaten with many stripes. It's weeping and gnashing of teeth because of the consequences of our sin. And then it goes on in verse 11, and for this cause God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Isn't it interesting? That which they had, God will even take that away from them. And He will send them strong delusion. He'll just let them go right ahead and do what they're doing. He will not intervene and make them stop it. He will let them go, and he will send them strong delusion, that they might be judged. The word damned here is not a very happy translation. This is not sending them to hell. This has to do with judgment upon these people, because these are saved people, and they will not spend eternity in hell. Okay? Who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, or being unjust. Now, what is the truth? I wanted to, my struggle was this. What do I put first? A study on the truth, or do I present the study on the revelation of the wrath? Well, I guess I'm just taking it. See, I've even got the word truth, which is the last part of that verse in there before holding down the truth. But anyway, let's look at the word truth. In Colossians 1:5, it talks about the truth. It says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before, in the word of the truth of the gospel." What does the truth have to do with? The hope of a child of God. And that hope is Christ in us, the hope of glory. You find that in verse 27. So the truth pertains to the hope of glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. "But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." What is the truth? It's the word of God. Now I'm looking at the word truth with a definite article before it, meaning it is a specific truth. That's what we're looking at. And this truth pertains to the Word of God. It's the manifestation of the truth from the Word of God. In John chapter 18, verse 37, Christ is before Pilate, and Pilate said unto him, "Art thou the king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am the king," or "I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto" what? The truth. What was Jesus preaching and teaching while he was here on the earth? He was preaching and teaching, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so the truth pertains to the coming kingdom. It's a kingdom message. And it says, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Present tense. My sheep hear my voice. Present tense. I know them. Present tense. They follow me. Present tense. And if they'll do that, I'm going to give them life for the age. I'm going to give them age-lasting life, and nobody's going to take them away from me. And so it is, everyone that heareth the truth, everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. And they're the ones who are doing the following. In John 16:13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of the truth, is come, he will guide you in all the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you" what? Things to come. The truth pertains to things that are coming. It's not the truth of the Bible. This has to do with the truth of the coming kingdom, the honor and glory that will be revealed in His coming kingdom. Those are the things that are come, that are coming. Jesus Christ is our high priest of what? Good things to come. So Jesus Christ is interceding on our behalf that we might have an abundant life in the coming kingdom. Now, in verse 18, it talks about them that hold down the truth. It's actually hold the truth, but it's a compound word, to hold, and it means to hold down. To hold down the truth. And these people that are holding down the truth pertaining to the kingdom are false teachers. In 2 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, which will bring in," or who will privately bring in, "damnable heresies, even denying the Lord, that bought them. I think that's interesting. These people were bought. These people were redeemed. These false teachers were redeemed. They were bought with a price. And I was just thinking about the false teachers that were among the nation of Israel. What were they? What were those false teachers teaching at Kadesh Barnea? Oh, we can't go in and get that land. Those guys are too big for us. They all perished, didn't they, in the wilderness. That's the kind of false teachers that they had in their day and in Paul's day, and we have them here today as well. They're teaching against entering the kingdom and ruling and reigning with Christ. They think everybody's going to do that. So they're going to be those that will hold down the truth. It says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. Let me tell you, kingdom message is evil spoken of in many circles today. They hate that doctrine. They hate that doctrine. In Romans 1:25, talking about the ones holding down the truth, it says, who changed the truth of God into the lie. There's a definite article, the, before the word lie. It is a particular lie. If you remember, we were reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it talks about that God would send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. What is the lie? Well, we know the devil is the father of the lie. He was a liar from the beginning. And I think it would be helpful for us to understand what the lie is. First of all, I want to just read one verse in Luke 11:52. Jesus is talking to the lawyers. He's talking to the wise. He's talking to the doctors. He's talking to those with authority. He says, woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Those who hold down the truth, they're taking away the key of knowledge. They are going to at great lengths to prove that kingdom truth doesn't hold water. And it says, ye enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hinder. Those who are holding down the truth are taking away the key of knowledge, and they are hindering others from learning that truth, and so that they can enter the kingdom. In Romans chapter 1, verse 19 is another verse that refers to them, because that when they because that which may be known of God is manifest unto them, for God has showed it unto them. These that are holding down the truth, God is working with them and showing them the truth, and He is revealing things to them, but they're not responding to Him. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. In other words, God sent them strong delusions. When I was thinking about this passage in the first part of this verse, it says they glorified Him not as God. Actually, I think it would be better to understand, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as a judge. They glorified Him, in other words, they did not give Him the respect that a judge should have. Neither were they thankful that there would be a judge, and that they were vain and became vain in their imaginations. Romans 1:22, they professed themselves to be wise, and they became as fools. What does a fool say in his heart? There is no God. And when you say that there is no God, you have lost something that's very important to you in your walk with the Lord. You've lost the fear of the Lord. We need the fear of the Lord if we are going to behave. And so when we say that there is, we become fools, we say there is no God, and we lose the fear of the Lord. Romans 1:25, It says, who changed the truth of God into the lie. Now I want to share with you what the lie is, okay? I'm jumping ahead a little bit there. If you look over in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 4, it says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That's the lie. Ye shall not surely perish. Ye shall not surely lose rewards and rule and reign with Christ. See, that's what happened to Adam and Eve. They were ruling and reigning where? Over the earth. They had dominion over the earth. I mean, Adam said, single file now. And the animals came by in single file, and he gave them every one of them a name. He named all the animals. And he had power over the fish, and he had power over the fowl of the air. He had power over the cattle. He was king. And the day that Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they were demoted. They were no longer in power and in dominion. Now, there was a certain period of time where Adam and even Noah could, invite the animals into the ark, and God allowed that, but he lost dominion. He lost the authority that God gave him, and he perished. The word died, and thou shalt not surely die, is the word thanatos, which is thanat in the Septuagint, which is the death of the soul. In fact, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Thanatos. Now, Adam and Eve didn't just kick the bucket. They just didn't fall over and physically die. What they did, they died spiritually, which we understand, the sin. But they also perished in that they lost dominion. They lost the ability to rule and reign over whom? Over the earth. Okay? That is the lie. The lie today is, you're not going to lose that privilege of ruling and reigning. And don't believe that lie. If you disobey, did Adam and Eve disobey? Absolutely. These in Romans chapter 1 were unjust. They practiced disobedience. They loved disobedience. They liked it. Okay? Now let's go on. Romans 1:28. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their epinosis, exact or deeper knowledge. So you can see that these people had deeper knowledge of God. And so God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know what a reprobate mind is? It's a mind that can't think straight. A reprobate mind can't put it together. They can't understand it. And they don't want to understand it. They're not being diligent to present themselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing what? The word of truth. And so God gave them a reprobate mind. They could not start coming to the right conclusions, and God just allowed them to go on, and so therefore they will fully experience His wrath at the judgment seat. To do those things which are not convenient. That's an interesting word, convenient. It's actually fitting. In other words, they were making wrong decisions. That's the key. Now, in Romans 1:32, who knowing, this again is epinosis or epinosko, it's a adjective, one's knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. This is the astonishing thing to me, is that these people that are holding down the truth, they knew and had knowledge of the fact that what they were doing would bring forth thanatos, death. And yet it did not change their way of thinking. It says here, knowing the judgment of God. They knew about the wrath of God, but because God gave them a reprobate mind, they could not apply it to themselves. I think this is what it amounts to. That they which commit such things are worthy of death. That is soul death. Not only do the same, that's present active, they practiced these sins, and they had pleasure in them that do these sins, that rebel against the truth. Okay? Well, anyway, I think that I think we need to make some application here to help us to appreciate that these that hold down the truth are like those that Peter refers to in 2 Peter 1:19 and 21. While they promise them liberty, and that's what they do. People who are holding down the truth pertaining to His coming kingdom, they promise liberty when they are really in bondage. That's what it talks about later on. They themselves are the servants of corruption. In other words, what are they doing? They're sowing to the flesh. They're sowing to the flesh. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the deeper knowledge of the Lord, this word knowledge here is epinosis of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and are overcome. Being overcome, they're in bondage. They're serving what they know at one time to be the wrong thing. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, that is, the truth, than after they have known the, and that's a deeper knowledge of the truth, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. These people that are holding down the truth, it had been better for them not to have known the truth to begin with. But what happened is that they began to be wise. And they became fools. And that they convinced themselves that there was no danger of them losing any of God's blessing. So what do we need to be doing? Hebrews 3:11-12. So I swear in my wrath, this is God talking to the nation of Israel out in the wilderness, Kadesh Barnea, they shall not enter into my rest. They're not going to enter the land flowing with milk and honey. Take heed whom? Brethren. Who are brethren? They're the ones who are seeking to enter the land. Enter the kingdom of heaven. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart. An evil heart is an impenitent heart, one refusing to repent of unbelief and to repent of departing from the living God. May God help us to appreciate the fact that there is a blessing and there is a curse. And we need to choose the blessing and run like we've never run like Joseph. I was just thinking about Joseph this morning as I was reading my Bible. I'm in Joseph. And if you've got to leave your coat, leave it and run, even though it may be used against you. Because you know what? God's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. Father, I just thank you for your word. And help us, Father, to choose the blessing. Help us, Father, to put substance to the hope of our calling through by faith. And to live a life that's pleasing to you, being just. Help us, Father, to love the truth, that is, to obey it, and to be obedient to the truth, and to resist the notion, the lie, that we're not surely going to perish. Lord, help us to be on guard. to resist the devil, knowing he'll flee, and we can know the truth, and the truth can set us free. Bless the message to each of our hearts this morning, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.